Got your Bibles, let's open up to the book of James. Book of James, chapter number 5. Book of James, chapter number 5. And I ask that when you find that place, if you're able. And certainly we understand in this church that you can reverence the reading of God's Word from your seat. Amen, I believe that. And we appreciate that. And if you're able, we appreciate you standing. If you're not, we know you're still reverencing the Word of God. But the Bible says over in the book of James, and we're just going to read a couple of verses, but we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Verse number 16 of James chapter 5. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Verse 17, the Bible says, "Elias," or Elijah, "was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18 said, "And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." I want to read verse 18 one more time. We'll go with the Lord in prayer. It said, "And he prayed again." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts. And I pray for the good singing and God for the good testimonies tonight. And I pray, oh God, come to that time where, Lord, we are woefully inadequate to do the task that is at hand. And so, Father God, we're not depending on ourselves tonight, Lord, or on our own understanding or our own mind or our own intellect. But God, we're leaning wholly on the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there'll be any preaching done tonight, it'll be done by the Spirit of God. Father, if there'll be any goodness that'll come out of the service, it'll be only because you chose to bless it. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, would you open up our hearts one more time. Father, I pray, Lord, one more time that you'd help us to preach. And God, as if it'd be the last time that we'd ever get to proclaim your word. I thank you, Lord, for all these years, the help that you've been to me. Father, I thank you, as Lord Bobby Joe's already said, oh God, I'm thankful, Lord, that when we bow our heads, Father, what a privilege we have. Lord, I'm glad that you've been a friend that stuck closer than a brother. Lord, I praise your holy name. Help us tonight, Lord, we do pray. In Christ's name and for his sake alone, I beg. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested tonight. You pray for us, Lord, help us for a little while. But I've been thinking about it. I know we've had a few Wednesday nights in between, but God's still dealing in our heart on the subject of prayer. And so we come to this passage of Scripture where the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." And then the Bible says, "The effectual, a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so we had looked at the disciples' prayer, and that and God had given us a pattern by which to pray for. And then we had looked at there in the life of Daniel, and that there ought to be a little bit of persistence in our prayer life. But then I come to this passage, and dear God, God began telling my heart, and I think sometimes we forget, oh, what wonderful power that there is in a prayer. Friend, whenever we bow our heads to a holy, righteous God, it is not just to go through some rambling words or to draw back an arrow and to shoot it into the sky. But I'm thankful when we bow our head, we are praying to the God of all glory. I want you to understand, friend, that dear God, that prayer in and of itself is not the power sword. And you can talk to
to yourself all day long. And dear God, it'll never do you a stitch of good. But when you get plugged up, amen, unto the power sword, and what happens then, friend, is that everything that I want you to understand, I pray, if you don't remember nothing else about the message tonight, I pray that you'll remember this. And prayer is able to do anything that God is able to do. Friend, we know tonight that God is able to do anything. All power in heaven and in earth has been committed under the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God's able to do anything, I mean the one the Bible says, and that nothing is impossible with God. And dear friend, if nothing is impossible with God, I mean, what is there and that's too hard for God? I mean, I've never came across a case. I was thinking just today, and you'll have to bear with me for a little while as I maybe testify for a moment. But dear friend, as we went and to pray with some folks today, boy, you ever come into prayer, and I mean, you're going for a situation, and your heart's all nervous, and it's twisted up, and your mind is weak, and dear friend, all you can think about is the worst of circumstances. But then all of a sudden, when you bow your head and begin to call on that lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there's a power source that comes down, friend, and floods your soul, and dear God, and when that begins to grab a hold, you know that the power of Almighty God is still in control. And then I think to myself, what case is there that is too hard for God? We've got an entire Bible of things that were written for our example, and dear friend, of how God, and dear friend, can do anything and that God wants to do. I thought about as a little boy, and dear friend, I wasn't real smart. Dear God, and as a little boy, my mama, and we didn't have those things you put on plug in, and so my mama said, son, don't touch that, and there's power in that thing. But boy, I didn't believe that much, and so I took a little necklace that she had, and dear friend, I found that it fit just right in those little two-pronged outlets. And before long, I found out there was power on the other end of that line. I mean, dear friend, it knocked me back and stripped up my arms where it got a hold of me. But I'll tell you, I never walked by one of them and thought there ain't no power in that no more. I'm telling you, friend, I believe some folks and talk about that there's power in prayer, but they ain't never got plugged up, and they ain't never found out, and then on the other side. Friend, listen, I'll tell you this, you ever get plugged up one time, I'm talking about, friend, when the God of all glory floods your soul one time, you'll do just what Elias did, and you'll pray again, amen. Why do you keep praying, dear God? Because God keeps answering prayer, and you can't get a hold to that. I mean, listen, I don't know what you're going to endure in your life. I don't know what troubles you're going to go through. But if you're here tonight and you're born again by the grace of God, and the first powerful thing you ever found through prayer is that one prayer and translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It took you from dangling over hell to the very presence of heaven as if you are already there. I mean, one prayer, and dear God, took the wrath of God off of your soul and put the peace of God on the inside. One prayer, friend, and changed all of eternity for you. And if one prayer can do that, God, looks like we just keep coming back. I'm telling you, friend, I'm persuaded more and more in my life. And now I want you to listen. Can I confess some things for a while? And the Bible said, confess your faults. I want you to know I've been preaching, dear God, for about 18 years. And I feel like really, and just in the last year of my life, I've really grabbed a hold of what prayer is all about. I'm telling you, friend, you just can't handle it on your own, and just can't do it on your own. Boy, you can't work it out in your flesh. Friend, you can't make things happen. But I've learned, thank God, thank you, Jesus. I've learned, friend, that whenever those things come, and you can just bow your head to a holy, righteous God. I mean, I'm not talking about just to waste time or to check in and check out, but to grab a hold of God.
God and to realize by the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, friend, I mean, you got an audience with God as soon as you bow your head. Hey, man, I'll not have an audience with the president and with the mayor. And there's some people that go to church I'll never have audience with. But thank God through prayer, friend, and you've got audience with the God of all glory. Amen. And so the Bible said, amen, that the effectual and fervent prayer. I thought, dear friend, about the first part of that. It said effectual, and that is to produce an effect. In other words, when you go into praying, you don't stop praying until something is accomplished. Amen. And then I don't know. I got a real simple mind, but God gives me some simple things sometimes. And boy, and I thought about prayers just like an old sledgehammer. Amen. And I know there ain't many folks that bust rock anymore, but I thought there's been some folks a day or two in their life, and that they bust. Now listen, and there ain't no power in that sledgehammer. You understand? He can sit there all day long, and it'll never break the first rock. Amen. But boy, you grab a hold of that thing. I mean, friend, you grab a hold of. We was talking about John Henry earlier, Brother Hewitt. I mean, you grab a hold of that thing, and you begin to labor. It's a work. Ain't nobody ever used a sledgehammer and that it ain't been labor. I got little old soft hands, and boy, it'll jerk blisters on them real quick. But I want you to hear this. I was looking at some of them old men that bust up big old rocks in the quarry. Boy, and they'll come down on that thing the first time and it'll just recoil off there. I'm telling you, friend, not much happened. And they just rear it back over their head and hammer down again. Why do they keep doing that? You might walk by them and say, boy, it don't look like much is happening. That rock's still there. But the one thing them fellas know, they keep hitting that rock in the same place, and sooner or later, friend, it's going to crack right down the center. And you know why that fella that's swinging that thing doesn't get discouraged or downcast? You know why he keeps a-rearing back and hammering down, waiting for it to ring out? Because he knows one of those times when he slings that hammer down, friend, the God of all glory is going to break through. I'm telling you, that's why we pray. And that's why when there's wayward loved one and that we've been a-praying for, and dear friend, they still not came. And that's why you keep bowing your head down and crying out to the God of all glory. And the devil might walk by you sometime and say, it don't look like much is going on, and it don't look like much is happening. But thank God, praise God. I know if I get a hold of the power sword, amen, and just keep hammering the rock a little while, it might take a few strokes, amen. It might take a little bit of effort. But thank God, God will always answer prayer, amen. And so I thought about, oh, friend, might we be like those folk? And now some folks don't like the sledgehammer because it's a little heavy. I'm telling you, we need some folks and that they're willing to pray a little heavier than what they have been, amen. I mean, dear friend, I'm talking about, oh, you listen. I'm talking about praying conviction. I mean, there's some folks, I'll just be honest with you, and there's some folks that I thought, boy, if we don't get a hold of God, amen, ask God to help. I don't know if they'll ever get any help. I mean, but I'm telling you this, if one person can get a hold of power like that, what would happen if the entire church would? I mean, what would happen if we all said, now the Apostle Paul said, and that he labored more abundantly than they all in prayer. That means prayer's a work, amen. And that means there might be some times you're going to sweat, and sometimes you're going to get tired, and sometimes you're going to get weary, and sometimes you're going to be exhausted. You ever got tired praying? Amen. I mean, dear friend, you've been a praying until you can't pray no more. You've cried till there ain't no more tears left. You've called on God till you don't know how to call on no more. Amen. And the devil comes by and he says, oh, friend, but thank God I've seen enough of them rocks burst, Brother Savage, and that it just keeps me wanting to grab a hold of it, a rare back with all that I am, and keep swinging the hammer. And so we find, and there is persistent. And then I thought about the next thing. It said not only effectual, but it said fervent, and that's passion.
You know what the word fervent literally means? It means hot or boiling. Amen. And now if I were to ask you tonight, what's your prayer life like? Boy, what would you say? And would you say, my prayer life is... it's red hot, Brother Sexton. I'm telling you, when I enter into that throne room of glory, hey man, I come out of there charged up. I'm plugged into something bigger than 440. I'm ready to go out and chase hell down. And dear friend, I'm persuaded to believe that some folks, man, and probably just the truth of the matter is, my prayer life more times than I care to admit has been cold, cold, cold. Oh, but there's been enough of those times. Yeah. And there's been enough of those times. I'm telling you, whenever and God burdens your heart. And now, friend, listen, we'll get to some of these things in a minute. Yeah. And where God burdens your heart, God burdens your spirit. And when you enter into there, hey man, you enter into that place with some white hotness about you. You're trying to move all heaven and earth and not a shotgun prayer. I'll tell you what we ought to pray. We ought to get real specific. Amen. I mean, we ought to pray, oh God, bring this one under conviction. Oh God, would you do that? I'll tell you, when you pray specific and you get a specific answer, you know it's because, amen, and that you got a hold of the power. Source, amen. And then the Bible says, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. And boy, I remember reading that as a young Christian, Brother Garrett, and I thought, well, that excludes me, and there ain't much righteous about me. I thought, boy, I'm telling you, all I do is fail more than I get it right. But I'm thankful when it comes time to pray, I'm not coming to God on my own righteousness or on my own merit. And that centurion soldier, according to Luke's account, and whenever Jesus was sitting there hanging on the tree, he said, surely this was a righteous man. Amen. And so thank God when I bow my head and pray, I'm coming before God not only on my own righteousness, but on the righteousness and the merit of a holy, righteous God. And thank God. Hey, listen. And thank God. I'm glad it's not dependent, amen, on what I've done. Aren't you? Yeah. Amen. Y'all just shout a while right there. And thank God. And when you bow your head and pray, it ain't dependent on, dear friend, how well you've done things, but it's on how well he done things. And dear friend, I'm thankful. And you've heard me say it before. I wouldn't trust the best 5 seconds of my life to get me to heaven, but I'll trust 33 and a third years of his life. Amen. Rest my all eternity on it. And no, dear God, when I enter into prayer, I can enter there because of him, and God hears me because of him, and God answers because of him. Everything I've got is because of him. And then we notice the Bible says it availeth much. And boy, I thought about the power in prayer. I mean, the Bible says the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thought about 3 veils that are in prayer. And boy, the first one's left off a lot, but there ought to be a little bit of travail, amen? I mean, friend, listen, let me just ask you some questions tonight. When's the last time that you wept over sinners? I mean, when's the last time you entered into your closet and wept over? Hey, let's take away your own immediate family, okay? And let's exclude your own immediate family. It's easy to weep for those in my family. And boy, when's the last time you bowed your head and wept over some of these lost folks that are out here that without Christ, and boy, they're as much going to hell as those in my family. Amen. Thank God. And listen, friend, and they deserve opportunity to go to heaven as much as anybody in mine or your family. But when's the last time we wept over them? When's the last time we wept over those sinners? And boy, those, I'm telling you, my heart hurts for those that used to run well, but somebody hindered them and they no longer obey truth. And boy, I'm telling you, we can ask about them or talk about them. But dear friend, when's the last time? Oh, dear God. And then we thought, God, boy, all the encouraging I can do doesn't seem to have an effect. But if I can just get a hold of the power source, oh, friend, if I can get a hold of God, I'm glad God can change things, friend.
I'm telling you, if it doesn't work in nobody else's life, I'm glad prayer's changed my life, friend. I'm telling you, and then I thought, and here's what I want to preach on. It'll be a short message, but I want to preach on this. I thought, dear God, of all the people that he could have demonstrated prayer through, why did he choose this man? Why did he say Elias or Elijah in the Old Testament? I mean, I thought of some wonderful prayers. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there whenever old Hezekiah, I mean, dear friend, just bowed and turned his face to the wall and began to call on the God of all glory. Oh, what a prayer. What about in Psalms 51? I thought, has there ever been a better prayer than whenever David just comes empty-handed before the Lord? And he says, oh God, I acknowledge my transgressions are before you. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'd like to sit on that altar next to Hannah. And dear friend, whenever her lips was moving, but not a word was coming out. But thank God, God understood what she was saying. And boy, wouldn't you like to have been there? And when Jehoshaphat, all of Sennacherib and the Assyrians were coming on them. And the Bible says they and all their little ones came outside the camp and lifted their eyes up to heaven and said, oh God, would you help us? Wouldn't you like to have been there for that prayer? I'd like to have been there for whenever that thief sat on the cross. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm telling you, there's been some great prayers in the Bible, and you've probably thought about others. Why then did he use this prayer? Oh, friend, I believe God's trying to teach us a few things in this passage. Notice he said, first of all, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Hallelujah to God. And that stirs my heart already. Amen. You say, preacher, why? We're talking about, amen, probably the premier prophet in the Old Testament and the father of the prophet in the Old Testament. And we're talking about a man, dear God, that friend, he went to a widow's house. And he said, boy, if you'll just feed me first, you'll never hunger. And for 3.5 years, and as many times as they dipped in the barrel, you know the story. And boy, meal kept coming back out. And the same one, dear God. And that when her boy fell asleep there and died, and Brother Huey, he went over there and prayed over him. And God raised him up from the dead. And the one that stood up on Mount Carmel that day, and dear friend, and said, how long halt ye? I'm between two opinions. I don't know about you, but we ain't got much in common so far. And the man who the Bible said and came across the Jordan River, that man split it, dear God, and walked across on dry ground. And the man that walked so close to God, and that God said, hey, old boy, you'll not have to see death. And a chariot of fire came down. A whirlwind carried him back up. Amen. But the Bible said, he was a man subject unto like passions as we are. In other words, for every time you find that, you also find Elijah over there hiding in a cave somewhere. You also find Elijah despairing of life and saying, oh God, it'd be better if I was dead. You also find Elijah getting to a point where he felt like he was all alone and the only person serving. Amen. Now, boy, we're talking. We're getting down to where I live. You see, the truth of the matter is that's all of us in this room. And there are times that we are spiritual giants, if you're saved. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You felt like those times that, praise God, anybody ever felt untouchable? Amen. I mean, you felt like your walk was so close to God and that you thought there ain't nothing ever going to get in between this and near God. And then as time comes, you find yourself separated. Don't even know how you got there. Only thing you know is that you was walking close and now there's a great distance. Hey, amen. Am I preaching to anybody? You know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm this same man that stood up on Mount Carmel and called down fire from heaven is the same man and that was hiding in a cave fearing for his life. Amen. Dear God, how many times have we been in the presence of God away up yonder, and before we can shake a stick, and we're way down here, oh friend. And you say, why'd God put that there? Because he knew you was just like that, and he knew I was just like that.
And he wants you to know there's still power in prayer anyhow. Amen. They still power. And you understand the power is not whether we're, listen, I don't want to, and let's just turn over. I want to give you three, four, five things here as God gave them to me. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll do my best to be real quick and to be brief in this passage. But I want you to hear what the Word of God said. I mean, this is just some thing. And the Bible said he was like passions as me and you. And the Word of God said that he prayed and that it rained not, and for the span of 3.5 years, and not a drop fell from the sky. I want you to notice, friend, and we find in 1 Kings chapter 17, and the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was at the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, and before whom I stand. I want you to notice that. He said, before whom I stand. I notice in the first time when he prayed for there to be no rain, he is in a standing position. I mean, he's standing. But turn with me over to 1 Kings. I want you to notice this chapter 18. I want you to see what the Bible said. And then I'll tell you what the Lord's let me in on. It'll be real secretive for a moment. He said, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth, and he put his face in between his knees. And so God gives you two illustrations. And one when he prayed for rain, and one when he prayed that it not rain. In the first place we find he was standing, and in the second place we find that he had his head down and in between his knees. And you say, preacher, what difference that make? I'll tell you what that tells me, Brother Ward. Amen. Tells me that the power's not in my position. I'm glad I can pray going down the road. Hallelujah to God. I can pray going down the road. I'm glad we've got Stephen who's standing there, and he's standing up. I'm praying with his eyes up to heaven. I'm telling you, and then we find in this next part, and that in one place he's standing praying, and in the next part he just, boy, he gets down on his face before God. And the Bible said he bends over to the point, and that his face is literally in between his knees. But I want you to hear me. And the power is not in his position. And the power is in the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't make any difference whether we're standing up or sitting down, whether we're going down the road. I'm praying with our eyes closed or our eyes open. I'm praying silently or out loud. Whether there's a tear in our prayer, dear God, or there's not. Amen. I'm thankful for it. And the power is not in our position. And the power of prayer is based on the fact that he is seated at the right hand of the God on Father. And dear God, on the right hand of God the Father on high, ever living to make intercession for you and I. And the power, friend, is in his position. As long as he's up there, as long as he's seated there, and no matter how often or in what way we pray, thank God there's power. Amen. Notice the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 3, he says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And so I thought, not only, amen, is the power not in our position, but I want you to notice, secondly, it's not in the place. I want you to see this. The Bible teaches us when he prays that first prayer, he's a heading out by the River Jordan and down by the brook Cherith. You know what I know about the River Jordan? It's in a valley. Are you with me? Now just stay with me just a minute. It's in a valley. And so the first prayer he makes when he prays that there be no rain, he's down in a valley whenever he prays it. But what I just read to you out of 1 Kings chapter 18, it said he went to the top of Mount Carmel. And so the first prayer he prayed, he was in a valley. But the second prayer he prayed, he was up on a mountain. Thank God not, I say to you, aren't you glad? Amen, that it doesn't make any difference what place we're at. I'm glad, friend, these times when we're down in the lowest valleys of our life,
I mean, dear friend, I'm telling you, anybody else glad that you can pray when you're in a valley? Amen. I mean, when they ain't nothing else to do and they ain't nothing else to say, and you're down in that valley where it's drying up, but God's still there anyhow. But I'm also thankful, Brother Apoc, that thank God whenever things are going real well and I'm way up here on a mountain, amen, and shouting her out, I'm glad that it's not based on my place in the Lord. Again, it's based on His place, amen. And we sang and testified about heaven so much, Brother Howard, tonight. Here's the blessing about it. As long as God's still on the throne and in heaven, and there'll still be prayers answered, whether you're in the valley, whether you're on the mountain or somewhere in between, I'm thankful no matter where you're at, and there's power in prayer. Amen. Amen. Notice and see the possibility. Now I want you to grab a hold of this, because when Elijah is praying the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He ain't just throwing caution to the wind and praying as a last resort. You understand? He's praying with a purpose. His purpose is not a small purpose. Now listen, let's think about all the things that we pray for tonight. Anybody ever prayed that it not rain for 3.5 years? That's a mighty big undertaking. You understand? Somebody might walk by Elijah and say, that's impossible. It's going to rain. You trying to tell me for 3.5 years it ain't going to rain? It's at least going to sprinkle. Not only that, but there ain't going to be no dew on the earth. What about that, friend? I mean, can you imagine some of his friends coming by him and saying, now what exactly is it you praying for again? You praying God would stop all the heavens? Could it be that Elijah understood something about prayer, Brother Linder, and that me and you don't realize sometimes, amen, and that they ain't nothing impossible with God? Amen. I mean, friend, and the same God that can heal the sick and raise the dead, is it any harder for Him to shut up the heavens? Amen. I mean, dear God, what's harder to do for God? And friend, there ain't nothing. Whether it be something that you deem small or something you being deemed big, all things are small things to God. I want you to understand, could it be that, friend, that when everybody else says it's impossible, that there's still power with God? Amen. You ever walk by some of them impossible situations? I'm thinking, I don't tell many stories. Can I tell one? I mean, you ever been in one of them places where it seemed like that there was no hope, but then the power of God came down and changed the whole thing? I was thinking about a little old lady that we got to pray for, and they said, boy, she ain't going to make it through the night. Called all the family in, and there's some folks that got to praying. Hallelujah. Listen, this won't mean near as much to you as it does to me, but I'm telling you, thank God. Before the amen was said in that prayer, we knew that the God of all heaven done already came down. And when I made the phone call and said, she's all right, ain't she? Amen. They said, yeah. And discharging her out, she's a going home. They don't understand what happened. All they know is she came in, she was dying, and now she's leaving. What happened, friend? Some folks got plugged into the power of prayer. And when they did get plugged into it, amen, it changed her whole life. I want you to understand. And the Bible teaches it. Now listen, God ain't done nothing for her or nothing else that He won't do for other folks if we just realize and understand that there is power in prayer. And then the Bible said that after it had been dry so long, They're selling horses' heads. There wasn't enough provender to feed any of the animals. Elijah prayed again. And he said, hey, it's just going to rain. And they said, now listen, you don't control the weather, Elijah. You can't make it stop raining, and you can't make it start. And let me tell you, he didn't. But he got plugged into something a whole lot bigger than he was. Friend, if when I bowed my head, I was praying to somebody who couldn't do a bit more for a situation than what I could, I wouldn't even waste my time praying. But thank God the reason we keep praying, the reason we keep bowing our heads is because, thank God, when we pray, we praying to somebody that can do more than we ever thought we could. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Just keep praying, friend. Now I want you to notice this. Lord, give me some things on this I thought about. Then he shows us, friend, the answer. The first time he prayed, I only find him praying one time. And God shut up the heavens. Boy, I like those prayers. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. I mean, when you pray it the first time and before you're done praying, God answers it. But not so the second time. Let's just read it for a minute. 2 Kings chapter 18. Bible says it like this. Said in verse 41. He said, verse 42, after he put his face between his knees. In verse 43 it said, and he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. There ain't nothing. I'm telling you, I can imagine the old Gehazi, he wasn't much in this passage of scripture, you understand? His heart wasn't right toward God. And boy, he got down there in that old, I don't even find that it was a very long prayer, Brother Savage. All I find is he got done a praying. And I want you to think about this, Brother Ward. This is the way I understand. And God help me if this isn't right. But God's given me liberty to go okay. And as long as God gives me liberty, that's all that matters to me. But I want you to understand, Elijah does not move from his position. I want you to think about this for a minute. Elijah is prepared to stay in the position he's at until the God of all glory answered. That's why he didn't go look for himself, you understand. He's down on his face before God and bowed his knees down, covered his face, and looks over at his servant and says, and go yonder and look, amen. And boy, he ain't in a place to look. He's still in a state of prayer. And when he comes back, he said, and there ain't nothing happening yet. But oh, Elijah understood. He done already got a hold to God, friend. And as long as he had a hold of God, it didn't make no difference. So he said, go look again. And boy, and that old servant, I can see him running. And boy, looking out yonder and saying, I can see every time he comes back, Josh. And boy, thinking, I don't know how I'm going to tell this man. And maybe taps him on the shoulder while he's bowed down. And he said, Elijah, I'm sorry, there ain't nothing. But oh, Elijah, he's a prayer warrior, you understand? He just says, go look again. And boy, and he goes up that hill a third time and he comes back again. And he said, Elijah, I still don't see nothing. And boy, I can come back, I can see him in my mind's eye. It's a long journey. And every time he comes back down that hill to where Elijah's at, he said, Elijah, don't see nothing. And but old Elijah had a hold to hammer, friend, and bringing her back. And he kept a swinging her down. Amen. That first time it seemed like Miss Anita had might have recooled off there. And he said, go look. He said, there ain't nothing to happen. And boy, no, Elijah said, I'm going to keep swinging the hammer. He said, go and keep going. He said, I'll tell you how many times to go. He said, you go. Friend, and on that seventh time, that complete time, in other words, Elijah prayed until he got an answer from God. And boy, when he went up there, that little old servant came back and he said, "Elijah, I don't know what you're praying for, but what I see up in the skies ain't much. And there's a cloud about the size of a man's head. And boy, I can just see him saying, 'Thank God, that's enough.'" And that same man's hands, the one that stopped the heaven, and that same man's hands, the one and that'll bring back the rain. As long as I can see a man's hand and coming down on my prayer, it's going to be all right. He said, "Hey, everybody, get up, put your chariots in four-wheel drive, head on down the road. There's about to be some ruts and some rains are coming down the way." And you say, "Preacher, why are you preaching like that? There's some people, bless God, I've been a-praying for. There's some people we've been a-swinging the hammer, amen. It might not look like nothing's happening yet. I keep rearing back and swinging her. There's an abundance of rain on the way, amen."